Now, Tim mentioned the advanced research that our medical system is known for, and it's kind of mind-boggling how we can have such an advanced system and still have a problem with infant mortality in this country. The U.S. has a rate of about 6 infant deaths for every 1,000 live births. That's more than twice as high as the infant mortality rate in Japan or Finland, for example. And that's despite a recent report from the Centers for Disease Control that signaled a small reduction in infant mortality here. So why are we still lagging behind so many other nations? Emily Oster is an associate professor at Brown University who studied infant mortality.
So I think it's difficult to tell. So what we find in our paper is that, yes, indeed, you know, well-off women in the U.S. have similar mortality rates to women elsewhere, and that really what's going on in the data is that poor women in the U.S., particularly in the period between 1 and 12 months of life, so the period when the infant is at home and where a lot of deaths are occurring in the home, that's the group and the time period that really drives a lot of our high infant mortality rates. There are a lot of explanations for that. And one possibility is differences in healthcare access. Another possibility is differences in maternity leave, differences in other kinds of resources. And all of these things may play an important role.
So tell us what other countries are doing right, not just for wealthy women, but for all women across the board, especially if the U.S. is lagging behind in last place of 27 wealthy countries.
So I'll give you one example of something that struck us that's very different between the U.S. and most countries in Europe, which is most places in Europe have universal home visiting programs. So when you go home with your baby, somebody comes to your house, typically more than one time, and they see how things are going and they help you with things that you're struggling with and they give you advice. There's a little bit of that in the U.S. and it's become more common, but it's certainly not as uniform as it is elsewhere. And I think that many people cite that as an important difference in terms of the infrastructure and the help that women are getting after they're home with their babies, not so much in the hospital, but once you're at home and trying to figure out how to do things right.
You're saying that's for women all across the board, like in other countries in Europe. I mean, poor women, they also get longer maternity leave, for example.
Yeah, there are many things that are different across the board. And I think one of the things that goes on is that wealthy women have a lot of ways in the U.S. to get support that is not accessible to poor women. And elsewhere, there's more uniformity in the kinds of help that people are getting. And there's less inequality in general. And that probably plays an important role.
You know, it's crazy. I was just in Kenya for 2 weeks and we were doing a story about getting women to prenatal visits using incentives like, you know, sweet potatoes, orange flesh sweet potatoes. It almost sounds like for some women in the United States, we need to have a similar program here.
Yeah, I mean, I think getting people in for more prenatal visits is crucial. And I think it's not so much about incentives, but about making it easy, making it accessible, making it something you don't have to sit and wait for, you know, 5 hours in a clinic to see somebody. We want to make those things really easy.
So you mentioned the home visiting programs, which sounds, gosh, kind of luxurious. What else are poor U.S. pregnant mothers missing here that they might get, say, if they lived in Sweden or somewhere in Europe?
They are getting fewer prenatal visits. Why exactly that's true, I think, is unclear. In many of these other countries, you get gifts. Like the government will send you, like in Finland, which is one of the countries we study, the government sends you this box of stuff. And it's like clothes and diapers and so on. Obviously, we're not doing that here. Does that really matter? I think it's hard to tell. And I think that this is so wrapped up in a lot of other issues of poverty and inequality. It's hard to point to a particular behavior and say, aha, this is the thing that's going to make a difference.
As you've studied this, have you seen any inclination in this country to really having a comprehensive healthcare program from conception all the way through those postnatal months?
I think there are pushes in this direction. I mean, in terms of the medical care during pregnancy and, you know, during the birth, you know, Medicaid covers poor women. In terms of postnatal stuff, as I said, I think that there's a push towards trying to have more support postnatally, but that is still really getting off the ground. And that's something that a lot of people are working on, but not in a uniform way.
Emily Oster, who is at Brown University just down the road from us in Providence, Rhode Island, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks for having me.